Midah and Toma Devora, the first of the 13. If you remember, we said Mikael Kamoicha Noisa Avon Va'Ovei Pesha Yishayus Nachalasa. Just last week, we were discussing what's the comparison between the Yud Gimel Midas of Moshe Rabbeinu. There isn't time to go into it now, but the Vilna Gaon makes a shiluv, makes a match from these 13 to the 13 of Moshe Rabbeinu. Each Hashem Hashem Kerachu Machanun. He makes, maybe one day we'll go into it, but I once gave a shiur on it in Beis Tefillah, that each one is matched to the Yud Gimel Midas of Moshe Rabbeinu. But you'll see that, we'll do that another time. We mentioned it last week, we had a problem of why he didn't choose these. They are perfectly the same ones. But let's go on to this Midah. Mikael Kamoicha. This is the first Midah which the Talmud brings out. Moira Aviyos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Nera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king who is very humiliated, disgraced, insulted. He's modern elav. Soivel elbein, he suffers a tremendous embarrassment. Mashalo yachilu rayon, which you could never understand the depth of his upset, how much he is upset by the aveus that we do. Read out to you. He brings down from here. Many of the comments which I'm going to say are from Reb David Goldberg Shlita, who's Rosh Yeshiva of Tells in the Sefer Alachta Bidrocha. But he brings down as follows. In the Droshes of Abchaim Balozhin, he brings down from the Magid of Magid said to the Beis Yosef, "Im ha'yisa yodeo magish goydel tzar hashchina." If you would be able to imagine the enormous pain to a Kodesh Baruch Hu from our veyos, lo haya orev mechachei shum dova macho, you would never have any taste in your mouth. You'll be so upset, you'll never be able to taste food. Lo haya libcha noite liten shum macho, you can never eat. You'll be so distressed to know how much pain HaKadosh Baruch Hu has by our aveiros that we do. He's ne'elav. That midah is very painful for him. Harei ein dova nista mehashgachos v'li sofei. Nothing is hidden from his hashgacha. Meaning, he sees everything and is aware of anything that we do, any aveiros that we do, and he's continually embarrassed and upset and humiliated by our actions. He brings down from here that from there we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachem yoseh more than you can ever possibly imagine. You can never imagine how much rachamim HaKadosh Baruch Hu has on us for all the acts that we do. He sees everything, he registers everything, he's alert to everything. But Matisyol says on this, this is from day one in creation, Adam and Chava. This once Adam and Chava in the world, already from the beginning of creation they did something wrong. So from the beginning of the Bria there was always this elbow that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Can you imagine years and years of aveiros that we do? He suffers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers from our aveiros that we do wrong. Ve'oid ein rega shelo yeh odom nidoin u'miskayim mikorach elyon hashaveh olav. And on top of that, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such enormous pain and aggravation, there isn't a second in our lives that we're not continually supported and maintained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kochos that he gives us. There's no such thing as a person doing a chait shelo yeh hu ba'oisa rega mamash shofer olav shefa kiyuma utunas nevorav. At the same time that a person steals, or a person commits immorality or adultery or something, that koyach is being used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're abusing the koyach that he has against his will. And that's an unbelievable elbein. The tzar for the shechina. If you think about it, what it means, he gives you the koyach, and that koyach in your hand you use to steal. Or that koyach which you have to talk, you say bad. Or whatever act you do, you're using his koyachas all the time. It's an unbelievable thought, Rabbi said. No, he brings down here from Pshach in Avi Ezri, he brings down that we'll see in a second. There's something called a chet and oven and a kas. We'll see in a second. Harei timsa shemei oylam lachota adam negda v'lo yeh hu ba'oysa rega mamash shafer alav shafa kiyuma v'tunua seivolav. And everything that you do, you're going to the wrong place, and who helps you to walk? You eat the wrong food, and who gives you the food? Who gives you the ability to digest the food? Everything. And you keep on using that koyach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in no way holds back, resists the koyach that you have. Where does it come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers this enormous pain. By continually giving the power of the body, the power of activity that we have, And you do something accidentally, on purpose, or the hachis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Shach, even a chet is a pain to HaKadosh. You should have been more careful. Even a shege. Why wasn't a person more careful? I remember reading about Vosna, Zechusayik Lifuachem, that when he was in Chachmei Lublin by Rav Meir Shapiro, so on a Friday night, he turned over and by accident turned off the light by his bed on Friday night on Shabbos. And he felt so terrible from that, he made a neder that he would complete Masechta Shabbos 100 times. And Sof Yomov, he did the 100th time, and he made a special sin and he completed it. Because of that, he felt it was an accident. But he felt I should have been more careful. By tzaddikim, even an accident by them is careless. It shouldn't have happened. Kal koshiken ovein or machis. Kodesh Baruch Hu soivel, and he suffers all this. He brings down in the footnote here when Klal Yisrael crossed over Yamsuf, so Pesel Micha was there. There was an idol in the Machane. As they crossed over and they saw the Nisim of Yamsuf, they had a Pesel with them at the same time. He also brings down at the time mentioned previously on the Chet HaEgel. After Klal Yisrael did a Chet HaEgel, the next morning they had them on. And that morning they had them on. Not only that, I saw Rav Matis Yor brings down also that they used it to use the Reach Nichoyach for the Egel. They used the food that they had from the man to make a korban to the Egel, which is an incredible chutzpah. The chutzpah is enormous if you think about it. Mm-hmm. You're given something and yet you use that koyach keneged, which is a tremendous elbow in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My wife on Shabbos showed me a story in one of the women's magazines, I think the Bina magazine, but just a story from someone called Mrs. Krohn, Genendel Krohn. She wrote a story, I think it's from Avraham Osband, who's the Rosh Hashiva of Tells, and he gives the following moshul of you hear a knock at the door, and you come to the door, and there's a woman standing at the door, a full woman. She says, "Can you possibly give me something to eat? I'm starving, hungry. Do you have anything available?" So you bring her in, and you say, "Please sit down." So she says, "Thank you so much for bringing me in." And she gives you a full meal, and you heat up the leftovers, and she's sitting there, and she turns around and says, "Is it possible to have a drink? Have a drink?" She said, "Of course, I'm sorry, I forgot to give you a drink. You know, I feel so bad." And the woman never stops thanking. She says, "Thank you so much for everything. I appreciate it very much. All that you're doing for me." And then the woman turns around and says, "I have to go now, but I really enjoyed this very much. Thank you." And as she's going out, the Balas Habayis turns around and says, "Let me give you some tzedel aderech, something for you to take on the way." So the woman stands at the door and she says, "I appreciate so much how much you've done for me." The door closes. 5 minutes later, there's another knock at the door. You open the door, and a woman walks in, barges right in, goes right into the kitchen, takes out the food, makes herself a meal. Not her house. She sits down and says, "Where's the coffee? I want a drink, please." She takes a coffee for herself, sits down, and has a full meal. Helps herself. It's not even her house. Now she'll be fuming. And as she's leaving the house, she says, "Can I have something to take with on the way, please?" So, what's the difference between the first one and the second one? It's exactly the same. Both had exactly the same food and were treated the same way. The difference is the first one never stopped saying thank you and asked beforehand. And yet the second one didn't say anything at all. Kol Shekein BaKadosh Baruch Hu. He continued, the first one who continually says a bracha beforehand and says after a bracha afterwards is the first woman. But can you imagine coming in and just taking everything without appreciating where it all comes from? And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps on giving you, and yet he lets you take. And he might be fuming because of that. Could be fuming because look what you did. You could have been like the first woman, but you keep on just taking and taking, and you never recognize him. And that's the elbow of a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
You're also taking control too.
Taking control. You're assuming that you have the right. Yes. You have the right. It's yours. It's not yours. It's his. And therefore, the chutzpah is enormous, enormous, and the elbow to a Kodesh Baruch Hu is tremendous. Let's carry on. But Kodesh Baruch Hu soiva. V'loy toima she'ena yochal limnoy mimenu hatoivahu. Don't say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu would not be able to stop a person with his koichas at the same time. Of course he could. Chas v'shonam. Sharei b'koicha b'rega meima. In 1 second, Kodesh Baruch Hu dried up the hand, yodav raglav av yoavon. Ka'in she'osa yoavon. I'll give you a maisa. The maisa was in Melachim Aleph, that Yerovam was melech of Klal Yisrael, and he was very jealous of all the attention which was given to Malchi Yehuda. What happened was that he decided he'll make his own yontav in Beis El. He had an idol in Beis El and in Dan, and he closed down the roads that no one could go to Yerushalayim to be Oleh Beregel. and he forced everybody on 15th of Cheshvan to come to his temple where he was doing Avodah Zorah. All of Kaisa had to come there. And he made ketores and he offered incense to the idol that he made. And as he was about to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a Novi, Edo, come to him. And Edo came to him and said to him, "You'll be punished for all your wickedness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually will slaughter all your priests, and the bones of these people will be burned," meaning Yerovam's bones will be burned. He threatened him. "And to prove it to you, your altar will crack in two, and all the dust will fall on the ground." And it happened immediately like that. Immediately, as Edo said that, the Mizbeach broke, and all the ashes fell on the ground, and Yerovam lifted up his hand to hit Edo, and his hand was frozen. He couldn't move his hand. It was frozen solid. He told his guards, and he couldn't command all the guards to go and arrest Edo. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped it at that time. He stopped Yerovam from doing the chait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it if he wanted to, but he didn't. He doesn't do it to us. Why not? So he brings down all the mafoshim. If he would do that, then we'd lose the koyach of bechina. Mm-hmm. No? But at the same time, he's not forced to give it us all. Enoch Hanami, every time someone did something wrong, there would be an immediate reaction and a retribution. So then you would turn around and say, "I'd lose my bechina." But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps on giving you and giving you. He doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stop on that. And therefore you see from Yerovam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could continually do that. He could stop it for a second. You remember the Maisa also by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu complained at the snare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's not able to go to Paroi because I don't have a pair, I don't have any man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, "Misam Pela Odom, Misam Pela Odom." He was referring back to the Maisa when he killed in Mitzrayim 60 years earlier, when Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri who tried to strike the Yehudi. And as they took him out, Moshe Rabbeinu killed the person, he was arrested, and Moshe Rabbeinu was taken out to be executed. And they put him on a block, and the person who took the axe chopped off the head of Moshe Rabbeinu, and his neck turned into stone, and the axe came back and killed the executioner. And at that time all the guards around were struck. Some were struck dumb, some became blind, and some couldn't talk, and all the Moshe Rabbeinu escaped. That's how he escaped to Midian, and he lived in Midian for 60 years there. He was out of there. So I think it was 60 years he was out there. And so Misam Pela Odom, who closed the mouth? All the guards couldn't stop Moshe Rabbeinu from running away. Some became blind, some couldn't talk, and some couldn't even hear anything. Misam Pela Odom, who did it? I did it at that time to save you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had koyach to prevent a person from carrying on his chait if he wanted to. That was the redness which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what he means. Sha'arei b'koyach b'rega k'meima l'yobesh yodah b'ragot k'ein sha'osa l'yerovon.
That shows how much Hashem wants us to have a bechira.
Right.
It has such a value to the bechira that foregoing, absorbing all the humility to enable us to have the free will.
Yes, yes. But his hand isn't forced to do that. You're right.
No, it's the desire.
The chashivas of bechira. Bechira is so important that a person should be able to choose it.
Exactly.
But if we would only sit down and consider, you know, when we say something wrong, where do you get your mouth from? Or when we eat something wrong, how do you get the food come from? Where does the digestion come from? Everything is only from him. So the elbow is enormous to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The insult is enormous. The disgrace is enormous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take away that koyach if he wanted to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could turn around and say, "Negdi, since you're acting against me, so go ahead and use your own koyachos. Don't use my koyachos. Go ahead and use your own koyachos." HaKadosh Baruch does not do that. He doesn't allow a person to be embarrassed like that. Supposing a person carries on with his actions, he lets him carry on. Why not? Because it'll be a great embarrassment to a person if he suddenly found that he couldn't do what he wanted to do. He wanted to eat the food and he couldn't eat it. But he wanted to take something, he couldn't take it. And he carried on giving the koyach to a person without holding back, without resisting. You can't possibly imagine the enormity of his humiliation and suffering that he takes from that. The insult is enormous to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings from Michtav Meliyahu, the Gober brings from Michtav Meliyahu. What happens when a person reacts like this? It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hands over the reins to Adam to do what he wants to do, and he allows you to lead him. You are allowed to do with him. For Adam, you force HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what you want to do, not what he wants you to do. And that's an enormous chutzpah. You are forcing his hand. He like opens the door and allows you to do what you want to do. Time when a person commits an act of immorality or adultery. So at that time, that power at that time is a chilul Hashem, because you're denying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there in that moment. And that's the enormous elbow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a king who is disgraced. In Perek HaYecholes he brings it down, the Hainu Omer Mi Keil Kamoicha, and that's why the name of this midrash is called Keil Kamoicha. Ato Keil Baal Chesed Hametiv. You are the king, you are the Melech, the Keil Baal Koyach Rinokim Belesach Eshalcho. What does this word kale mean? Why does it say kale? Kale. Mi kale kamach. What is the word kale from? So Matthew Sio explains that there's a difference between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we do a chesed. When we do a chesed, so you see a poor man. What's the reason why you do a chesed? Because you are suffering when you see that poor man. You feel bad that he doesn't have anything. So you help him because you're making yourself feel good. You feel good yourself by doing the chesed. Oh, but the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. He acts with chesed, that's what we say on the Yom Din, the rachamim is badin. You know, the Yom Adin we say on Rosh Hashanah. The foil racham of badin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim is with din inside it. And Matthew so explains the difference. You know, on Friday night, is there a siddur somewhere? On Friday night, we say this in Tom Mekadei Shavi. We brought it down from Elia Lapian. We say this Tom Mekadei Shavi. So, oh, it's not in here. It's in here. I think it's in here. Tom Mekadei Shavi. He brings down from Elia. A beautiful name right here. Listen to this. Kama Kaddish is in here. Ken. Draw your kindness to those who know you. Kael Kano Vanoikem. Why Kano Vanoikem? Kano Vanoikem, who takes revenge and is Mekane. But it should say Kael Rachum Vechanun. Why Kael Kano Vanoikem? So he explains that the word Elohim is Midas Hadin, but sometimes it's written for Kael. Kael means Rachamim in Din. Kael by itself is Rachamim. Elohim is din, but Kael by itself is rachamim. Yud kei vov kei is midas harachamim. Yud hei by itself is din. So therefore, when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu use midas harachamim and not the yud gimel, not the shem havaya? When, in other words, we have yud kei vov kei, which is rachamim, and we have Kael, which is rachamim. When does he use that midah of Kael? When he acts with rachamim in din. For example, Kaili Kaili Lama Azavtoni. She's asking for Rachamim in Din. Ze Kaili Va'anvehu. That was the Rachamim in Din, which Klal Yisrael saw. So you see that the word Kael is Rachamim in Din. The din, but it's not just the din, it's the rachamim in din. Kale, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din is acted with rachamim. He doesn't. No, kale is rachamim. Elokim is din. When you have kale, you have rachamim in din. You don't just have the din by itself, it's kale. For example, Kael Godel, Kael HaGodel HaGibra HaNoira. Kael means the great power. His din has rachamim in it. It's not just the din. It's not Elokim. Elokim is din by itself. Kael HaGodel HaGibra HaNoira. Kael is a lotion of Koyach HaRachamim in din. And therefore, that's what we say. Mishoy Chasuchol Yedecha, Kael Kanoi V'Noi came. He's the Kael whose Kanoi V'Noi came. At the time when he does din, but in Rachamim, he does Koine Benoikein. He also takes revenge. So, in other words, at the same time, his Savlonus is the Kale which comes out. And that's why we call it Kale. That's why we say here, Mikael Kamoicha. The Kale is the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hold back the din with Rachamim at the time. Let's go over it again. Mikael Kamoicha, Ato Kale, Bal Chesed Hametiv. Kale, Bal Koyach Li Nokim Belezbeth Eshelcha. And you hold back your koyach. That's the savlonus of Kodesh Baruch. That's a representation of Kael. He holds back his koyach of din with rachamim. The im calls there atasoyvel the neelav ad sheyoshu b'tshuva. And this, Rabbi Yisai, is the whole reason why Kodesh Baruch acts with this, because he waits for you to do tshuva. He waits. He gives you an opportunity to do tshuva, and therefore the reason for the midah is to give a ben adam an opportunity to change and make a difference. And now he turns it into Ben Adam Namo Chaveira. Up till now we've seen the Koach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now understand, Ba'alachta Bidrochov is that a person must act in this way, try and act in this way. Like just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ne'elav, don't give back. It's very, very hard. It's a tremendous Koach HaGvura that a person holds back his anger and his mative. They say beautiful stories about Rabbi Sol Salanta. Beautiful story about Rabbi Sol Salanta, who, when people insulted him, he did everything he could to help the person. That's Horach to Bidrochot, the Mekayim, Rabbi Shbalch, who is native. Yim HaShoichet. Yes, he taught him Shrita. Shetoich HaOdom, Nitlitzanahigba, Ritzoini HaSavlonus, V'chein HaYoysa Ne'elav. And that's why a person should is Ne'elav, Afilu L'Madrigazu, Im Kozer Lo Yasav Tuvosa HaMenakabel. A person should try and resist taking revenge and hold back. There's a Meister which is told, Matisyahu tells a Meister which was not known for many, many years. It's an incredible Meister about Dinah Bramsky. Dinah Bramsky, Zechut Zadik Livracha, was the Rav in London of the first real Haredi community in England, in the east side, on the east end of London. He was a Rav there.
It
was
the
Das, before the show, I think, way before the show. Yeah. He was a Rav there. And before there were other Kehillahs. And then he was offered the position to be the Av Beis Din of the United Synagogue, which is a modern group of communities, like Young Israel. And all the Kanoim, all the Haredim, were very angry with him. And they wouldn't talk to him. And he had a tremendous amount of redifus because he became the Av Beis Din of the United Synagogue in England. And it's very, very, very modern. And they couldn't understand why a person of such stature and such greatness in Torah should go and be worked together with the United Synagogue. And he just took the position, and he suffered tremendously from it in England, with the elbow in the tzar from it. Years and years later, Rav Matisyahu was very close with Rav Eliezer Palchinsky. Rav Eliezer Palchinsky was the son-in-law of Rav Aryeh Levine, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He was also a grand neched of the Alter from Slobodka, a brother-in-law to Rav Eliashiv. So once Rav Matisyahu was talking to Rav Eliezer Palchinsky, and he told over the Meister that when years ago he was offered the position to become Rosh Yeshiva Ponovich, Rav Palchinsky, but there was a lot of opposition to him, and he suffered a tremendous amount of redifus because of it, and he had great tzar from it. So he said that he once told that over to Dinah Bramsky, the difficulties that he had about Palchinsky, and Dinah Bramsky turned around and said to him, I myself have always suffered from tremendous redifus. In Russia I had tremendous of the communists, and in London I had from people, because I joined the United Synagogue. But people didn't know that when I was offered the position, I received a telegram from Rav Chaim Moser. Rav Chaim Moser Grudzinski sent me a telegram saying, I heard that you're being offered the position to become the Av Beis Din of the United Synagogue. Take the position, take it, because you can do great takanas in England. Because of you, you'll save Yiddishkeit in London. And he did. He saved, for example, by Shechita in England. The Shechita was good, but the nikkur afterwards of the hind quarters wasn't so good. So he forbade the hind quarters. And that's why in England, the back, you can't buy the meat. Because of that, he forbade it. He made takanas in Gevus, which prevented all people from mixing with the goyim. And he made takanas in Gevus. Because of him, he held together many, many aspects of halacha when he was a dayan there. But he never told anybody that he got this letter from a dayan. So Papachinsky asked him, said, if you have such redifas, why didn't you turn around and say something? He was actually, when he went through all the redifas, they wouldn't let him into Gateshead. Imagine, even in Gateshead, they wouldn't let him in. Because he was from the United Synagogue. Because he'd come out. There was so much redifas against him. He suffered so much. So Papachinsky says, why didn't you ever say that you got a telegram from him? Because he said, I was scared that they'll make Leitzonus of Chaim Moser. Did you hear such a thing? They'll make Leitzonus, the Kanoim will give Chaim Moser a bad name. I didn't want to say anything that he would suffer from it, and that's why I kept quiet.
What people were doing the first time.
Yeah, but you can imagine. So he suffered all because.
Is it Kanoim in Turkate?
Kanoim, yes, Kanoim, yes, Haredim. Shehin Kanoim. Haredim, politics in England, and they'll make Leitzonus on Reb Chaim Moser, and therefore I kept quiet, and therefore I never told anybody. Years and years later, it came out. That's elbow, you know? That's a person who takes an elbow and doesn't say anything, just keeps quiet because of the kovod of another Adam Gadol. Not to say anything because the kovod of an Adam Gadol. That's an example I was thinking about. Rav Matisyahu brings this down here. That's an example of what it means. A person can be near love and yet not do anything. I have a friend, a very close friend, whose father used to hear shirim from Elia Lapian in London. And he said he was once listening, his father told him that he was once listening to a shiur of Rabbi Elia Lapian, and while he was giving the shiur, he was doing it, I think, in a certain shul or yeshiva somewhere, and the chairman of the board of governors came to the door while he was giving the shiur and went over, come here a minute, come here. While he was in the middle of the shiur, told him to come out. To come over and give, you know, to come here, I want to talk to you. In the middle while he was giving a shiur, he said that. His father was astonished. How can you do that? Rabbi Elia Lapian is giving a shiur, and he called him out in the middle of a shiur. The Elvain, which these Talmidei Chachamim go to, he just carried on. He didn't say anything. He just carried on giving a shiur. Didn't take any notice of him. The Elvain in politics is people have no respect for Talmidei Chachamim, and very often Talmidei Chachamim suffer from that. Rabbi Steinman also. Tremendous Elvain he had. But that's the middle of the halakha b'drochem. I was thinking that's for the koyach here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers from our aveiras and never reacts against them, keeps on letting us do whatever we want to do and say whatever we want to do and eat whatever we want to eat, even though his tzar is enormous. So we have to act. That's what the Talmud of understanding is. Shatoich Odom is Naigbo. And therefore, to take the savlonus, and because of the savlonus, a person will achieve much, much more. It's interesting, in later years, that Dina Bransky came to Eretz Yisrael and was given tremendous cover from the Biskarov and all the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. Tremendous cover. He was treated like one of the Gedolim here when he came here. Then he went back to England, and they took him into Gateshead, and they gave him great cover because of the Biskarov. You know, later they realized who he was. Later, when he came back to England, after he'd been in Eretz Yisrael, he came in, and Rav Matisyahu said, then he was given great kohen. They didn't realize who he was. No one knew this secret. This was a secret which wasn't revealed to anybody, all because of the telegram of Chaim Moser. Later, he was given great kohen when in Eretz Yisrael, and by Vigan, Dinah Bramsky was one of the gedolim here. But in London, he had tremendous redifas and never said anything, all to save the kohen of Chaim Moser. Beautiful thing, right? He knew the Kanoim would make Leitzonus of him, because you know, United Synagogue in England, it's not a yeshivish crowd, it's not a Haredi community, it's different, it's more modern, like young Israel, it's more modern. And he became their rav and helped save Yiddishkeit in England, and he kept quiet just to save the cover of a primary. Okay, that's the middle for this week. Next week we'll go on. No, next week is Rosh Hashanah. So, 2 weeks' time, we'll do the next one, Noisa Elvain.